Scripture this morning is the Gospel of Luke. No surprise, the Christmas story. These are familiar words, but whether you've heard them thousands of times or not, listen in them for what God says to us through them today. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, to whom he was pledged to be married and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them at the inn. And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, watching their flocks. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." So they hurried. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Let's pray. Gracious Lord, now we invite you to speak, that we might come to a text, to a story that we know so well, and that we might be humbled to hear a new word. We might receive a new gift. And in receiving that gift, it might transform and renew us, that we might be different Christians every day because of the gift we've received this day. Be at work by the power of your Spirit, we ask, that your word might be spoken and that your word might transform us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right, confession for you this morning. The calendar this year posed a little bit of a theological quandary for this pastor. We have Christmas Eve services every year. So the tradition at Christmas Eve services is I go, shake people's hand, and say joyously and jubilantly, "Merry Christmas," because I know I'm not going to see them tomorrow. But this year, we had our Christmas Eve services, and I had this internal conversation about what's the right thing to say. It seems a little pastorally nerdy to say, "Merry Christmas, sort of, Merry Christmas Eve, Merry Christmas before the real Christmas," though that may have been theologically appropriate. So I broke down, I just said Merry Christmas to everyone, thinking there was a little asterisk in the back of my mind, knowing we wouldn't see all of our friends. And it's not going to surprise you that we anticipated there would be less people in worship this morning than the two services that we had last night. And yet, this is Christmas. This is the moment when we celebrate that the Redeemer of the world has been born. And we recognize, because of the way the calendar works this year, the next time we worship in this sanctuary is going to be the 1st of January. the farthest you can possibly be from Christmas in the calendar. And so for many of us, this is going to be the last word of the coming of the Christ, that we're going to naturally rush on to the next word, the new year, new possibilities, the turning of the calendar. And so it seems important for a moment that we slow down and recognize what may be the most obvious thing in the room, that friends, we've gathered to worship on Christmas, on the day that Jesus Christ is remembered and the day that Jesus Christ was born.
It's an interesting contrast. Full sanctuary, lots of music, liturgists, readers, versus pretty simple, fairly small. Originally, the church celebrated Christmas. Not surprising, the church invented Christmas. Christmas grew up in the church, and it was Christmas Day that was lifted up as the church, the day, the celebration day, the end of Advent, the end of expectation, the arrival of the Christ. But in the modern time, the church has kind of gravitated toward Christmas Eve. Many churches don't generally worship on Christmas Day. We don't worship on Christmas Day when it isn't a Sunday, and I'm aware of some churches that aren't worshiping this morning, letting their Christmas Eve service fill that space. And that's not a criticism. It's simply the kind of the way things are in the moment we live, but they haven't always been that way. The church has moved into a period where Christmas Eve, the kind of the culmination of the Advent season, has been bigger, has been not more important, but more pronounced. And I will confess, we're not immune to that. We came up with the Advent series, and it was into week three before I realized we didn't have anything in the series on Christmas Day. We added today, later, tacked it on to the series. So it's not just church people that sometimes don't make the connection. Pastors fail to do so once in a while as well.
It's worth noting that after two services yesterday, sanctuary's full. The Christmas Eve is a difficult service because it's a little noisy. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean, you know, there's a lot of excitement in the room, and there's kids there who are like, let's get to the next thing, mom and dad. And it's great. But now we come here and we're in a smaller crowd and it's a quieter room. And I think what's interesting about that is that we have unintentionally, maybe, done an amazing job of mimicking Luke's telling of the Christmas story. Because on that Christmas day, it was not a huge parade. There wasn't a whole bunch of pent-up energy. The excitement was there for a couple people and a small number of shepherds. But the honest truth was, it was a pitifully small crowd for the birth of the Creator of the universe. The God who took on flesh was greeted by a ragtag group of individuals. And there's something beautiful about the church gathering on the Lord's Day to worship and remembering that it's not the size of the choir, it's not the volume of our joy, but it is the gathered people, even that smaller group where we find the humility of God, the great good news that God has come to us, not because we were prepared, but because God had chosen to come. And I think in some beautiful way, we're even mimicking this day, the story of Christmas itself.
Yeah, I certainly love our Christmas Eve services, but there's something about the simplicity of Christmas morning that I think helps us. You know, the snapshot that Luke gives us, which may be the best Christmas snapshot in the Scripture, is a confused couple, a misplaced baby, and some working guys from the field. That's a strange way to paint the picture of Christmas. It wasn't big. It wasn't showy. Most people didn't know that it had happened. The shepherds get confronted with an angel and they're terrified. They have to be told, don't be afraid. They have to be given instructions. They go find this baby as it was told to them. They return rejoicing. You know, for the shepherds, it's a good night. They get away from the sheep for a while. Shepherds don't get to talk to angels very often. Quick trip into town. Some rejoicing on the way home. Then back to work. For the shepherds, Christmas is a nice detour. Maybe a distraction. They're moved by it. They celebrate it. But it kind of comes and goes. And I suspect in the days and years that followed, those shepherds wondered what became of it. What happened to that baby? I haven't heard from him. I wonder what he's up to. Very different when we look at the character Mary. And we say things like this every year. You know, try to imagine Mary, this young girl. She's far from home. Her mother, her support system isn't there. Joseph, I'm sure, is doing whatever he can. But if you've gone through the birth experience as a dad, you know you're next to worthless. He doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know what to do. And there they are, having the Christ child. And there's no way that's how they thought that would turn out. When the angel showed up to their place and gave the big announcements to them, this isn't what they expected.
Contrast that. The shepherds come. They see this thing. They're excited by it. In fact, it says that they go and they tell everybody that they can find the good news, right? But Mary, and I think that this is such beautiful wording, and it comes to us in verse 19. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She treasured them up. She pondered them. And think about that for just a moment. When she treasured them up, it means that she stored them. She captured them. She realized in the moment that this was important. Have you had one of those moments? A moment when you just wanted to close your eyes and take a snapshot? I never want to forget this. But if you've had that moment, you know it's not just about remembering. You know that it means something. And you can ponder and reflect and you can imagine it from different perspectives. And you know this is a deep, deep moment. But for Mary, pondering and treasuring are not just a thing that happens in an animal stall. Because on Christmas Day, the shepherds go home. They've got work to do. Mary is now the mother of the Son of God. She goes to work every day. She cares for the Son of God the next day and the day after that. And she will continue all throughout the rest of his life. The amazing gift is we remember that on Christmas Day, Mary saw something that transformed her life. And she spent the rest of her life treasuring it, pondering it, reflecting on it, and seeing new wisdom in it. And it is that story which Luke captures and gives to us.
The word we chose for today, we've been doing this series, Re-Gifted, and we've been trying to highlight re-words. And the re-word today is redeemed. It means to buy back or to ransom. In the Old Testament, the Redeemer was someone who vouched for and guaranteed for your prosperity. They signed for you. Most of us know the words redeemed because of Iowa deposits and turning in cans for nickels. Technically, though, we are not the ones who redeem the can. They buy them back from us at a place we call the Redemption Center, which, as a pastor, I'm jealous of because that should be the name of churches. We should be redemption centers. And in the gospel, redemption is the main work of Christmas. The promise of the manger is that in the Savior, in the sending of the Messiah, God is buying us back, ransoming us, vouching for our prosperity, signing for us to bring goodness. Redemption is the central work of Christmas. God is with us. That's the simple, amazing message of Christmas. And so today, we ask you, because we are asked as Christians, to join Mary in pondering, what does it mean to be redeemed? What does it mean to treasure Christmas? Not just as good memories, but the meaning that we have a Savior. All is not perfect. Like Mary, many things are not what we thought they would be. But this is Christmas. This is the day a child has been born and a son has been given.
If you think of the shepherds as those who experienced Christmas on that first Christmas day, I wonder if you might imagine, like I do, all of the kids who are having the best day of the year today. You rip into those presents, you get this new thing that you swear is going to keep you happy for the rest of your life. It's amazing how short of a half-life that has. But today's a day of joy. But then they go back home. Mary gets to live with the one who redeemed every day. And the question is, will we as well? Will we let Christmas grow up in us this year? We're no longer talking about today. Christmas will be celebrated next week. Yes, even on January 1st. And the week after that, when the people of God gather to celebrate, we will do so because of the Son of God, the Redeemer of humanity, has been born. This explains why the early church was a little suspect of Christmas, because they were afraid that we might find ourselves in a position where we celebrated incarnation and redemption one day a year. The invitation is, you might celebrate it with every breath you take. That God has breathed. God has been born. Mary got to watch this young boy run, fall, get along, and maybe not get along with the neighborhood kids. She got to watch redemption grow up. So the same with us. Whatever tomorrow will hold, or the week after, or the month after that, friends, we are invited for Christmas to grow in us and to discover that God has always been at work, leading and guiding us through it.
I just want to dig in there for a minute. And I don't want to beat up on the shepherds, because the shepherds have a wonderful place in the Christmas story, but they do go back to their own life. For Mary, Christmas changes everything. She feeds Christmas. She changes Christmas's diapers. She watches Christmas take his first steps and begins to teach him what it means to be faithful. Christmas changes Mary's life and everything that she thought it would mean. Her pondering isn't done when they go home with the baby. It has only just started. What about us? Christmas has a short season this year. And what I mean by that is, when Christmas is on a Sunday, the next Sunday we're together will be the new year. And for most of us, Christmas will be either fading quickly or already in the rearview mirror. But will it be over for us? How will we keep it alive? We say some version of this every year. Don't put Christmas away with the wrapping paper and the lights and the stuff. May we be people who let Christmas live on. Let what it means for us to be redeemed live on. Interestingly, the Gospel of Luke uses the word redeemed twice, only two times in the whole book, the first chapter and the last chapter. Redemption is the bookends by which Luke tells the story. The promise of Christmas delivered at Easter. And everything in the middle is what it looks like to celebrate the arrival of the Savior.
Maybe we're like the shepherds. We find our way through the town. We find this baby. And then we set our course after that, telling everyone that we can find. But maybe the call this Christmas is to be like Mary, to leave this place treasuring and pondering what we've been given. These are not one and done actions, but they define our lives. And dare I say that if at Christmas we find the one who redeemed us, then how could we leave this place without rejoicing, without giving thanks? Because God has given us a gift that we could have not even possibly imagined. So this day, friends, that is our invitation to you. Treasure this day. Ponder it, not just this day, but tomorrow. And may you find in it freedom, joy, and a cause to live that you might share with others. Thanks be to God. Amen.